Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious God, we thank you for these moments together as we have reflected on who you are through singing and through praying. And now we come to your word, once again underscoring for us who you are, our great, glorious God. And in these moments, would you please strengthen us all by what your word has to say to us so that ultimately we might glorify you and honor you in our lives in every nook and cranny. We need you, and we look to you, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is our strength and our hope. In his name we pray. Amen. Do you have a passage that seems to sum up your life, something that means a lot to you, a passage that has made a difference in your life? Some of you may not have yet gotten to that place of choosing a passage, but yet if I were to ask some of you as we would go around the room what your passage might be, you might say mine is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone else might say, no, no. Mine is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Yet others of you might elbow in and say, no, no. Mine is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And on the passage goes. These scriptures are passages that mean a lot to us. When we're going through good times, they buoy us up. They're also passages that when we're going through difficult times, they're like a soothing soul lozenge. These passages make a difference in our lives because the passages are those that direct us to God's Word. God's Word is the strength and support of our lives. It informs us and encourages us. Sometimes when we look at the Bible, we think that the Bible is all about us, our lives, our sin, our experiences, but to a certain extent that's true, but the Bible is about God. It's about God, and so when these passages come to mind, these passages direct us to God and remind us of who he is and what he's done in our lives. They make a difference in our lives. There's a passage that means an awful lot to me. I came across this passage when I was in high school, and I was reading the scriptures, and I stumbled across it and thought how powerful it is, and yet how much of a mystery of it is to me. It's short, it's clear, it's crisp. It's a Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. It's a passage that has been with me since I was a scruffy high schooler and has remained in my thinking and in my living, and I would like to turn to that passage this morning. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. And as I read this text, I want you to ask yourself this question. What does this text tell us about God and the way he works in our lives? What does this text tell us about God and the way he works in our lives? That's Proverbs chapter 20 with a verse numbered 24. A man's steps or a woman's steps or a boy's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? Did you get it? It's a fast-moving text. Proverbs 20, 24. I'll read it again. A man's steps or a woman's steps, a boy's steps, a girl's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? So what does this text tell us about God and the way he works in our lives? Well, it tells us God directs our lives. The Lord is the one who is in control of our lives. The Lord is the one who is the source of the direction of our lives. Here in this text, the word Lord, Yahweh, is from or out of the Lord. From God, he directs our lives. He is showing us who we are and what we are to do, even in terms of the steps, the way in which we move forward, these steps, the course of our life. Well, it's directed by God. God superintends the steps of our lives. He guides and controls the course of our life. He has the final say in everyone's life. What we're talking about here, you invited a retired seminary professor to talk. And the word, if I may bring a theological word, the word that we're talking about here is the word sovereignty. God is the one who is over all. And in this text, and throughout Proverbs, and the entire witness of Scripture for that matter, God's rule is comprehensive. Another word that we could use, is the word providence. Some of you might be familiar with Roger Williams, who was booted out of Massachusetts Bay Colony, and he went to find another place for his group to live. He went to a place that was called Rhode Island, and in order to demonstrate and speak of what God had done for them in his leading of them, he named the very first city Providence, because it was this God who guided and provided for them. The mother church of my home church in western Pennsylvania is named Providence Baptist Church. Those early Baptists traveled over the Appalachian Mountains to found this church. And when they founded this church, they wanted people to know it was God was the one who led them there. And it was by his providence he led them there. So he named the church Providence Baptist Church. God's providence was at the work of the founding of this church, a small Bible study of about 25 people gathered. And as they gathered under the leadership of Reverend Georgia Leonard in October of 1936, they gathered and founded this church, which became Old North Baptist Church. God directed Georgia Leonard. He directed those people. He directs our lives. God directs our lives, our steps. He guides us, guides the course of our lives because he is God. We can look back on our lives, can't we? And see his guiding hand in our lives. God directs our lives. He's directed my life. I was born into a non-Christian home, an alcoholic home. And it was through the ministry of a church where they had some young people working at a fruit and vegetable stand that I came and encountered the gospel. These young high school kids were showing me what it was like. I didn't know exactly what their lives were saying, but it was different. So attractive that somebody asked me if I wanted to go to a Christian music concert, and I said I'd like to go to a Christian music concert. I said, but is there going to be any preaching there? And they said, no. I didn't know anything about preaching then, nor do I know now. But they asked me to come, and I heard the gospel through the music and through the message of the pastor at the end of that service. I was only 14 years old, but that church took me in, nurtured me, loved me, cared for me, discipled me. I grew in faith and went off to college, and then they sent me to seminary, went on to study overseas, and then came back and served as a pastor, and then went into teaching at Gordon-Conwell Seminary and at Baylor University. And I can look back and I can see, and I can tell you so much more. But I can tell you this, that God directs our lives. He directs your life. He knows you, and he tenderly knows your steps and your desires. He loves you and kindly directs your life, even though you may not realize it. But we think we're in control, don't we? We may think that we can call the shots. We want to keep our hands on the controls, but we forget, as the spiritual says, that God has what? The whole world in his hands. He has you in his hands. No, we're not puppets, but God is the one who is in control, not us. So the text is clear. God directs our lives. But the question is, if God directs our lives, what about us? What's our role in what this text tells us? What's our role? Well, the text shows us. We depend on him. The text says that we don't have the capacity to understand our lives, but we can trust God no matter what. Notice the second half of the text. It's a question. How then can anyone understand his or her own way? You can't. Why can't we? Because God is the only one who understands our lives comprehensively. Our lives are enveloped in mystery because God is the one who makes the actual direction. Notice the first part of this verse begins with the Lord, and then the second part with man. God is the one, compared to him, he is the one who is ultimately in charge. God is the one who understands and knows the direction of our lives. Not a step is made without God's superintendence. Yet we have lots of unanswered questions, don't we? We don't know why we're ill, or why we've lost our job, or why our kids are distant from us, or we can't figure out what we're going to do after we graduate from college. Why? What are you doing, God? But we depend on him. That's what we do, because that's what we do, are called to do every step of the way. There's a gospel song I remember hearing as a seminary student. There was a African-American choir that came to the seminary, and they gathered in front of us and they sang this song as they went back and forth, a reminder of the truth of this text, that we depend on him. And they sang, "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith." Or if you want something different, it's "One day at a time, sweet Jesus." This text underscores for us the importance of what it means that God brings order out of our ignorance. He is the one who superintends our lives. Yet, some things may not be clear to us when we're going through them, but when we look back, they make perfect sense, or sometimes not. But what we want to underscore is the truth of what this text is telling us, is that we depend on him. There was a beautiful little girl born to a frightened college freshman, not yet ready to be a mother. She did not want to tell her parents about her pregnancy, and so she arranged with her college roommate to go to her roommate's parents, who would take care of her until the baby was born. And she decided to give up this little baby girl for adoption. The roommate's cousins were praying that God would provide them with a daughter, and they adopted her, took her into their home, loved her, nurtured her. She became a believer in Jesus Christ. She went off to college and then on to business school. And then she married a preacher. That beautiful little girl is my lovely wife, Rhonda. We depend on him. But the problem is that when we're trying to depend on him, we resist trusting him at times by trying to manage and manipulate our own lives. Sam was like so many of my students. He wanted to go on to study after he had finished seminary and decided that he was going to make everything come together as he put together his life as he moved to the next stage of what he wanted to do. He wanted to study, and so he said he wanted to make an appointment with me because he wanted to see me about something, and so he came to see me. I said, "What is it?" He said, "I'd like to have my grade changed." He wanted to change his grade from an A minus to an A. Now, I thought that was in the A zone. That's pretty good. But I said to him, "Sam, why do you want to have your grade changed?" Well, he said, I'm wanting to get everything in order so that I can get into the school that I wanted to get into. I said, "Well, what's the school you want to get into?" He said, "I want to study at Cambridge University." I said, "That's a mistake. I went to Oxford." And so he was trying to, it seemed to me, to do everything he could without really depending upon God. And I knew Sam was someone who said he believed in the sovereignty of God. So I said to him, "Sam, I know that you affirm the sovereignty of God. Why not do the best you can and then leave it up to the Lord?" Now, I grew up watching a television program called Lassie, Timmy and Lassie. Timmy had a little dog. His name was Lassie, Collie, and Timmy would talk to Lassie, and sometimes Lassie would respond with, "Hmm, hmm." And I said that to Sam, and he was almost as if I was talking to Lassie. "Hmm, hmm." I don't think he got it. And oftentimes, we don't get it either. We don't recognize that the God that we trust and look to is the one on whom we are to depend no matter what. We are to trust him, to look to him, to be confident in him, in what he wants to do in our lives. We are to rely on him because that's what a wise person does. So what does this text say? What is this text getting at? What is it telling us? It's this. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. Can you say that? God directs our lives, and we depend on him. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. This is a truth that it permeates Scripture. Proverbs is full of the truth of God's sovereignty. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 16, 1. Proverbs 16:9, Proverbs 19:21. Other passages in the Scripture include Isaiah 26:4, "Trust in the Lord forever." John 14:1, "Trust God, trust also in me." 1 Peter 2:6, "And the one who trusts in me will never be put to shame." This is a truth that's at the center of what it means to be a Christian. This is a truth that is sung in hymns and songs and choruses throughout the history of the church. This is a truth that makes a difference in our lives. This means that we trust him no matter what. Alice was a member at my first church. She was ill in the hospital. She had come to faith in Christ years before, but life had changed. Her marriage wasn't great. None of her kids came to faith in Christ, lived a Christian life. She was having financial troubles, and now she was sick. Standing by her bed, and I talked with her about these different areas of her life, and I said to her, "Alice," I said, what you can do is hope in Christ. Do you know what she said to me? "That's all I have." That's all any of us have, to depend on a God who gives us absolute hope through Jesus Christ, to look to him, to trust him in every area, every experience, every difficulty, every triumph in life. Now, I know we may find it very difficult to trust him in what we're facing, but we know from experience and certainly from Scripture that God is sovereign and that his providential care is all we need. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. My father-in-law is a man of faith. He and his brother-in-law, about 50 years ago, decided they were going to purchase a restaurant. It was a restaurant that they'd fixed up the inside and served hamburgers and hot dogs that were cooked over a charcoal fire. And then their signature product was a homemade pie. Can we just rest there for a few moments? Oh, it was absolutely delicious. He and Mom Aiken worked very hard for those 28 years they had that restaurant. Some years were good years. Other years were not so good years. Some years were years where they experienced some challenges, and he didn't even pay himself. But they continued on. But at some point, he and Mom Aiken decided it was time to get rid of the restaurant. They couldn't find anybody, however, to purchase it. You might know about restaurants. Some of you might be restaurateurs, but restaurants, it's a tough business. And some restaurants only last about 6 months. Now, I mentioned theirs lasted 28 years. But they still couldn't find somebody to take it on. Finally, someone stepped forward and said, what we'll do is we'll do a lease-to-buy option. So they fixed up the restaurant, these folks, and started their business, and what? 6 months later, it closed. They didn't know what they were going to do. Then two sisters came forward and said, we would purchase the rights, take over the lease, and move forward. And so that's what they did. And so for 5 years, they operated the restaurant, and then one day they found the keys on the counter in the restaurant, and they didn't know what they were going to do. At last, somebody came and said, I will purchase the building, and it was off their hands. Dad Aiken had worked afternoon shift and at the restaurant in night shift at a school in order to have health insurance. It was a long, grueling process. But one thing that I'm sure that if I asked them what they thought about all that they had gone through, they would say, God directs our lives, and we depend on him. It is this great God in whom we trust and look to, who's given us himself in Jesus Christ. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. We trust him in the everyday stuff of life and know that in the big picture, that God is God. And as we trust him, others will see how we live and be influenced to come to Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're going through, but I hope that you can hear from what I've experienced, or Mom and Dad Aiken, or Alice, or even Sam, that we have a God in whom we can trust, someone to whom we can relate, someone who cares about us deeply. Would you take opportunity today to give yourself to this wise God, to depend on him? It's the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament who calls us to depend on him. Because of the coming of Christ into the world to die for our sins, we can give ourselves to Jesus Christ, to trust him for the forgiveness of sin, and then to follow him in the kind of obedience that this passage calls for us to follow him. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're struggling with depending on him, let him know. Confess your doubts, your fears. Turn away from that which gets in the way of obedience and give yourself afresh to him today. He is the God in whom we can trust, because that's the truth of this text, this soothing soul lozenge. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious God, We know that we are nothing without you, but with you, we have everything. And so even in these moments, as we reflect on what it means to depend on you, help us to do just that, so that our lives might reflect you and others may see you in us. And if there are those today who don't know you and are compelled by the work of your Spirit to depend on you, will you do and your work in them, even allowing them afterwards to speak with someone and pray with them? Even for those who are believers who are finding it tough to depend on you, would you do your work in them as well? We love you and give ourselves to you in the name of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.